Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
Hello again, friends, and welcome inside, at least for Ben Garrett, at Spirit. OwenSpirit.com, affiliate of all three. Sign up today and you can get the Spirit all year round for just $1 a week. I'm inside the Riverland Roofing Studios. You can't see the little house up top. I changed chairs. I got to get a little higher again, Clem. But Riverland Roofing supports us and powers us here on Talk of Champions. RiverlandRoofing.com, 662-644-4297. Few, if any, are doing more for Ole Miss Athletics in the name, image, and likeness space. And few are doing more for Ole Miss baseball 6-1 start, then one Mike Clement, Ole Miss baseball hitting coach. Hey, buddy, what's up?
I would venture to say Hunter Elliott is doing more than me.
Okay, but can I at least give you, you know, your credit? Because this weekend, sweeping away Eastern Kentucky, the offense looks more itself, 26-7, I think. Y'all outscored them. What was the difference this weekend as far as offense?
Yeah, I think we played pretty well. I think it's probably, honestly, and you know this, it's a little more telling last weekend. And from a coaching standpoint, probably the entire offseason, you have some anxiety about opening up with good opponents. And then after you do, and you have an element of success, you know, you just want to play really well and not play to the competition. And we did fine. It was not the most comfortable temperatures all weekend, no. Especially Friday and Saturday. And, you know, I think a lot of our guys, part of the reason they committed was because of, you know, the full stands and all of that. And they're going to get that. But, you know, I don't blame anyone for not coming out on Friday afternoon when it was 36. So but it was good. It was good. And especially after the last 2 years, if I'm being completely honest, you want to pile up as many in the left-hand column as you can. And now we've done that and we've been pretty good. And so I think confidence is building, especially coming back from Texas, and our guys feel pretty good about it.
Well, you've been talking about Hayden Federico on this podcast for a while. He's only started 3 of the first 7 games, but I mean, he's got 8 hits in his first 13 at bats. He's really sparked the lineup atop the lineup. He's led off in all 3 of those starts. What have you really seen from him so far, and what makes him such a player that can make such an impact early? I mean, the obvious is his dad, you know, coached in college. He's been around this before. It's not too big for him. But what is his hit tool, and what have you seen so far from him that gives you real encouragement about what he's going to be?
Yeah, I think all that's true. Obviously, he's been around the college game for a long time, but I think that's pretty well documented at this point. What he does a great job of is the bat-to-ball skills are really good. I think he struck out last year, his senior year of high school, and I get it. It's a different level than Louisiana high school baseball, but they did win a state championship, and he struck out once all year. And so the bat-to-ball skills are really good. He rarely leaves the zone. And then, you know, he's just got a little bit of the it factor, plays with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, is an emotional player, you know, plays with some good emotion, positive emotion, gets our guys going. But man, he's off to a terrific start. And really, you know, did I ever think, yeah, I was going to, you know, hit 600 and be on base at 800 or whatever it is? No, but that guy, since he stepped foot on campus, and we've talked about it before, he, in all of our inner squads, in our outside competition in the fall, in the January inner squads, and now into the season, he has been on base, and this is over 120 at bats probably, or plate appearances. His on base percentage has been over 500 in that time, the entire time he's been here. And to do that, as you know, as a freshman, you know, outside of like Gonzo or someone like that, it just, it does not happen that way. So, man, he's been a huge shot in the arm, and he's been terrific.
Is his future at third? Because I know Mike wanted to see him in left, and y'all are still figuring some things out. I bring it up only because y'all have so many options. Y'all been trying to figure it out in the first seven, you know, games, and you're trying to, I mean, so many different lineup combinations and where guys are hitting and who's hitting in certain places. What have you learned the most about your offense? And for him, a long-term, I know for this team right now, left field's an obvious place to put him, but is the future at third base?
Yeah, I don't know. He played a ton of third base before he got here. I think if he's in the infield, it's probably more of a second base. Hmm. I think he could certainly play third base. And if you told me he ended up being our center fielder in his time here, I don't know that that would completely shock me either. He's got really good feel to play all of those spots. I guess if we're trying to pick him apart, maybe the limitation with him is maybe some arm strength, but he can really go get it in the outfield, and that's what we've kind of tried to do. And it's not just him, you know, he's DH'd a couple times, but part of that is just because we got to see what the moving parts are around him too. So I think this year more than most, we have had more moving parts, and that's because we want to have it figured out or know what we're going to do against certain types of pitchers, you know, once Arkansas gets here in whatever, 3 weeks.
Well, what's the snap judgment as far as the offense after seven games, right? Because you probably came in with certain ideas about how it was going to look and who was going to do what. What surprised you, both good and bad? What have you wanted to see more of? Like, just an overall assessment of this offense and the work so far. What are the biggest takeaways for the longtime Ole Miss hitting coach, Mike Clement?
Yeah, I think the power has maybe surprised me a little bit, you know, and we hit five home runs in a huge major league park, and it's a big ballpark, especially in the middle of the field. To hit five last weekend and then continue that, I don't know that I knew that we were going to hit with, you know, as much power as we have, whatever it's been. And it's not like it's been ridiculous, but 11 or 12 home runs in seven games. And that's been a bright spot. I think the other thing is the depth of the pieces have been good. And I'm really talking more of those. I hate to call them role players because some of them are going to be everyday guys for us, but some of those in between guys that I knew probably in this early season window would platoon a little bit. The at-bats have been a little better than what I thought. Now we've had some everyday guys that have gotten off to slow starts, but some of those pieces that haven't played every day have been a real bright spot. Talking about Colin Reuter, we already talked about Federico. You know, Austin Folley has had good at-bats with not a ton to show for it. And so we've Braden Randall, who's a returner, but has been in and out a little bit. Those guys have been a pleasant surprise for us. And so I think that Luke Chang also has had good at bats. So some of those guys that we've moved in and out of the lineup, there's been some real bright spots there.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing that's really stuck out to me too, as just a casual observer, a guy that watches this stuff, cause that's what I'm supposed to do, is, if it doesn't matter what the combinations are, there are a plethora of options to where if a guy has a slow start or maybe gets into a bad slump, that you can try some different things. Because there are some guys that have gotten off to slower starts, you know, like there's some swing and miss with Judd. We could go throughout and pick guys apart, but the point is, I think the depth of these options is what separates this team, at least early on, from the last two teams and gives you some encouragement about what, you know, the sustainability of competitiveness all the way through June.
No question. And at basically every defensive spot, I feel pretty good about the options we have from an offensive perspective, meaning multiple. Mm-hmm. You know, Pano's gotten off to a slow start, but Chang has had really good at bats. You know, our catching depth is so much better than what it's been. You know, and then Ryan Moorman, who's been in there every single day, had a really, if he were on here, he would say it, he had a bad fall. And we questioned that a little bit, even to the point where he's got a great personality and he's the, whatever the stereotype of the Chicago kid is, he's got that. But I remember him coming to my office sometime in October and I'm like, hey, don't give up on me yet. And I was like, hey man, we're not going to give up on you, but he's been terrific, man. He's given consistent, really good at bats with some power. And he's been awesome. He's cleaned up his bat path and, you know, has worked his tail off to be where he's at. So, no, the depth of it is good. It challenges you from a coaching standpoint and a lineup construction standpoint, because you'd love to have, at least I, as a hitting coach, would love to have, you know, six or seven everyday guys. And we're going to get to that, I'm sure. But I think it probably, you know, as we move forward, looks a little bit different against left-handed pitching than it does right-handed pitching. I've been super encouraged how we've handled left-handed pitching. And that's something that, you know, I had a little fear with knowing that Samford was going to be in there every day, thinking that Humphrey and Furness and Smithwick were going to be in there every day. And those guys haven't been, outside of those first two guys, the transfers, because right-handed hitters have really swung it well against the left. So there's certainly some encouraging pieces in there, but we have these next 2 weeks to still continue to try to figure it out, and we need to.
Yep, no doubt about it. And one thing that really stuck out to me, only four guys, you're talking about finding six, seven, eight lineup regulars, only four guys through the first seven games to start all seven games. And yeah, that kind of shows that Ole Miss is still very much a work in progress and what y'all are trying to figure out and how the pieces fit. What is a known for you right now, though, about your offense? What really crystallized as, look at you giving a thumbs up. What really crystallized? I don't know how you do that.
I'm not, my hands aren't closed. I don't know.
I think it's hilarious. Like, I hope it like haunts you forever, but what are the knowns about your offense right now?
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to start with Luke Hill, obviously off to a terrific start, you know, already through whatever, seven games, has more home runs than he did all of last year, and he swung the bat great. I think that's a pretty significant known, because it's really hard to have a good offense without a dude in the middle, and I think he's that. I think Fed is turning into a known, right? Like, not that he's going to hit 600 this year, but when you have that skill set that we talked about earlier, it's really hard to take that out. You know, it's too much of a table setter, too much, there's too many things he can do, and he's too versatile both offensively and defensively, I think. And then I think, you know, some of the other knowns are Humphrey and Samford. I think that they're in there, and, you know, if you're just the batting average guy, maybe there's isn't like super sexy right now, although I don't think either one of them are probably terrible, but they're on base and on base a ton. They've walked and struck out, you know, close to 1-1, or in Humphrey's case, better than 1-1. And I think Smithwick has started to get it going. So I think the core of that is still those people. And then Judd is in there too. And we knew, you and I have talked about this a ton, there's going to be some swing and miss with that. But what you're going to get with that is also a 450-foot home run, you know, hopefully one out of every 10 at bats. So, I think the mix is pretty good, because you can have these different pieces with some different deficiencies. But if the mix is right, you can be okay with that. Now, you know, the other part about Judd is, take the offensive piece out of it, he is so valuable defensively. And you know, I know we've talked about that too, but he's probably the best third baseman we have. He's probably the best first baseman we have. He could go out and play center field, and I would have no problem with that. I don't know that we need that from him, but he could do all of those things. So, yeah, he's just too valuable defensively to ever come out, I think.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
This is Cali. With C Spire's blazing fast nationwide 5G network, She's got her fans in the palm of her hands. Live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone, wherever she is. Out there, wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at CSpire. Customer inspired.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter, the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, affiliate of On 3. Sign up today and get full access for just $1 a week. That's the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com. He's Mike Clement, Ole Miss baseball hitting coach, longtime Ole Miss baseball hitting coach. And yeah, pitchers are not your thing, but Hunter, man, Hunter's looked as good as you could have possibly hoped for through two starts. He looks himself. The velo has held. He just looks himself, and that's got to be probably the biggest takeaway for all y'all guys in the room is that, yes, this is not, oh, let's try and see if Hunter – no, Hunter looks like he's back.
Yeah, the thing probably that I have withheld in talking to you in this format for the last 2 years because it just – and it does. It comes across as sour grapes or pushing off blame or whatever that I'm comfortable sharing now is like – when you have a guy like him go down, it's really hard in our league to win games. And I'm okay saying that now, not to make excuses. We should have been better the last 2 years. There's no question about that. And certainly we would take responsibility for that. But having that guy back is, you know, for each of the last 2 years, you don't win the Arizona game because you can't win a game 2-1 because you don't have the dude on the mound like we did with Doug or going back to whoever, Rolo or whoever going back through the years. And
you got Will certainly saying he wants to exercise his last year, Clem, on Twitter. You know,
we take him.
Okay, just making sure, just putting it out there. He said he'd come if y'all would take him. So, you know, they're not playing.
But Hunter is that guy, right? Like we all saw it. We were, you know, we saw it as a freshman. We knew what it was. And unfortunately, he goes down with the injury that cost him nearly 2 years and he's back. And so, you know, that is such an important piece. And here he is through two outings and not giving up any runs, barely giving up any hits, punching people out. And I think the thing probably Joel would say that he's most excited about and coach would be that he's walked three guys, you know, in however many innings he's thrown. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a real piece. It's a real horse. And, you know, that gives you the ability, which you have to have on Fridays in the SEC, to win a game 3-2, to win a game 2-1, to win a game 4-3. And just you have to have that. So, like, I don't know how to anything I would say would be understating how important that is.
Yeah. Well, he looks himself and he looks healthy, but is there anything y'all can do or are doing? Or are you just keeping your fingers crossed? Like, what do you do as far as keeping him on schedule, right?
Yeah.
Ensuring that nothing crops up. Like, what is that process?
Good
like?
Question. So the one thing Joel's doing, not just with Hunt, but with all of the pitchers, if you look at the pitch counts, you know, I'm not sure he's thrown more. I don't think he's gotten to the 80 pitch mark, and I don't know that he will until SEC play. And so and that's really no different with Riley or with Mace or any of our guys, because we want them to be fresh down the stretch, and throwing 100 innings takes a toll on a college pitcher. And, you know, I think indirectly we had so much success down the stretch in 22 just because we hadn't figured out the pitching. And then when we did, it was DeLucia and Elliott, and those guys hadn't thrown much, and so they were fresh down the stretch. Now, we hope we figured out the pitching and that they're fresh down the stretch because we took care of them, as opposed to not figuring out the pitching and then have those guys come not out of nowhere, but come on so strong down the stretch. But I think that's part of the reason they were so good in May and June in 22 was because they were fresh. Mm-hmm. And so, obviously the goal is for that to be done with all of those guys moving forward, especially so they can throw 110 pitches, in May if they need to, because they're only throwing 65 to 80 now. And so, and especially important with Hunter because of the injury, but he's healthy. He's a long way off of surgery, but with all those guys, you want to take care of them. We've seen what happens if you have an arm or two go down. It's bad news. It's too hard to win in this league. The league is too good and the teams are too good to withstand losing that many important pieces.
Well, it was interesting. Excuse me. It was interesting to me that Riley Maddux said after his start on Saturday, the biggest difference with Joel is just the pitch calling. And again, we've talked about how Mike has given full autonomy to Joel to go out there and run with the pitchers. A big part of that is calling the pitches in game, because that's something Mike did for 24 years. What is the difference, maybe philosophically, in how they go about it? Because you don't see the same kind of like 0-2 waste pitches or anything like that. What's been the difference, or what maybe do you think Riley is talking about in regards to it's night and day different now with him doing the pitch calling?
I think one of coach's strengths was some of the in-game stuff. But certainly because, and I can't remember if you and I have talked about this, the umpires are now evaluated on the actual strike zone, which for a hitting coach is the most beautiful thing ever. Right. Because not that long ago, like in my time here, 5 years ago, that wasn't the evaluation process. And so you get some umpires that are going to call 5 inches off the plate a strike, and that just doesn't happen anymore. And so I think philosophically from Joel's standpoint is he wants to attack the zone. Like his emphasis is first pitch strike, 1-1 strike. Like he wants to fill it up. Our guys are attacking 0-2. And part of the deal is, hey, if we're going to take care of you with the pitch count, you have to be efficient with the pitch count. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you're never going to get through the third inning. And so philosophically, if that is his goal, is to limit these guys and take care of these guys and understand these guys are going to have a career past here, then he better also, call pitches, and they better be able to be efficient inside the strike zone to give themselves a chance to win games and to give ourselves a chance to win series. Because your starters still have to eat up innings. It doesn't matter if you're playing Eastern Kentucky or playing Florida. We need those guys. We need some length out of those guys. So I think it's really more the attack than anything. And certainly there's guys with different pitches and all of those things that they're using, but I think it's just the attack and being able to attack with all of your pitches. It's not just fastballs, mm-hmm. And it's not predictable. Hey, you should be able to throw your fastball for more strikes and you're off speed. Like he's done a really good job developing, secondary pitches that they're going to throw in the zone. And if they don't throw them in the zone, he doesn't call them, and probably a byproduct of that is those guys aren't pitching. So, he's done a really good job on the attack stuff.
Well, it's another thing too, is seeing guys like Walker Hooks, right? Look, y'all signed a really good class. It was like a top five class this year again. It was a really good class. Kate Townsend's going to be a rotation guy eventually. Had a tough go of it this weekend, but he's going to be a rotation guy this weekend. Where y'all really, I think, crushed it was in the margins. Guys like Walker, who I didn't even know about until he's up there at 6'4", 265 stuff, and that's probably more my stupidity than anything else. Point is this wasn't the same kind of like perfect game top 200 kid like Owen Pano and Cade Townsend, yeah. Hayden Federico, and he's come in and he's stuffed. And I think that's where you can really see the most or the biggest impact, at least this early with Joel, is that guys who you maybe weren't, because of their projectability with his evaluation, what he thinks they could be, they're pitching up already. Like Walker, he's an arm that is very unique. I mean, left-handed, 6'4", 265, and he stuffed it early on too. Like, where are these guys coming from? Did you know that guys like Walker and Landon Waters, who had a better go of it this week, and there's a lot of options as far as not just the Cade Townsends,
Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah,
it's a good point. And almost on both sides, you got Federico, who was probably, when you did whatever report after these guys signed a year and a half ago, he's on the list, but probably isn't super talked about. Same with Hooks. But he's done a really good, Hooks is a premium strike thrower. He also looks like a left guard that could pull and like take out a linebacker, all of that. But he is going to, it's a four pitch mix and he throws strikes and has since he got here. It is a super high floor with him because he throws so many strikes. And I think the stuff will only continue to get better. But he is completely composed on the mound. You know, like sometimes you want like, hey, Walker, like you going to smile ever? But he's just the same guy every single day, just pounds his own, and is incredible from a coaching standpoint, is incredibly safe. Every time you put him in there, you know, he's not going to beat himself. It's a good pick move. They're going to have to bang the ball around to beat him. And he's just because he throws so many strikes and controls the running game. And so just very, very mature from that standpoint when he gets on the mound. And Joel's done a great job. You know, some of these other pieces that you see when we're going to attack this way, you got to have some depth, right? Like if we're going to hold Hunter under 80 pitches for the first month of the season, you got to have some depth. And that probably Joel deserves more credit for than anything is how he's developed whatever the middle, you know, everybody uses 8-9 pitchers in important games and important innings, and how he's developed that number 6 through 12 or 13 has been huge because you still got to get the 27 outs over the course of the weekend. And man, there's a ton of options for us to go get those outs and a ton of different looks. And probably the part he's done the best with, to your point, is that number 6 through 13, just to stretch out the depth of the staff.
I mean, Mason Morris is stuffing. You got Walker stuffing. You got Patrick Gale coming in, hitting triple digits. The options are different. Last thing before I let you go. We talked about you mentioned the running game there when you answered about the pitchers. I mean, stealing bases, this has become obviously a point of emphasis for Ole Miss this year. You have a lot of guys who can do that. It's impacted winning. When you struggle to scratch across runs, you're stealing home with Judd, who credited Mike, who said it was Clem. Clem said, hey, get down here, and on the next pitch we're going. Hayden Federico stealing home on a double steal. The running game, it seems like this team, not only are y'all emphasizing it more, but you have more options and weapons for that specifically. And the combination so far have been good early returns, I'd say.
Yeah, no doubt. Part of my concern, like I said earlier, early on especially, was how much power are we going to have? And to be good in our league, you got to be able to run balls out of the yard. And so we went to work fairly early on knowing that we had a little more dynamic athletically offense was to put an emphasis on stealing some bases and all of those things. And thankfully, from a power standpoint, it's come on. Like I feel way more comfortable about us being able to hit the ball out of the yard than I did maybe 3-4 months ago. But the byproduct of that concern was, man, we got some pretty good athletes that can run a little bit. And so we worked really hard this fall at trying to steal bases and getting good reads and all of those things. So fortunately it's worked out for us. We've stolen bases off of the good teams and off of whoever isn't good that we've played. So that's the good thing. And it'll only get tougher because you start to put that up statistically. People are going to, you know, try to control the running game, be quick to the plate, all of those things. But I think what comes of that is the threat of the stolen base that maybe, hey, they're going to slide step now. So you get a fastball in the middle of the plate that if he picked his leg all the way up, he would command a little bit better. And, you know, so hopefully that makes us better with the bat as well, just the threat of the stolen base. So it's fun. It's fun to have, you know, some better athletes that can do that.
Well, you look around, Hunter's health, the running game, controlling the running game, not just with steals either. I mean, Hunter's pickoff move has gotten better. I mean, he's come back even better as far as picking guys off. The way through 7 games, Ole Miss has controlled the running game and played better defense. These are all things that you knew you had to do, and so far, so good. Congratulations on 6 wins and 7 in 7 games. I know that for you, you're just thinking about the next one. The next one is Southern Miss. It's a good football team, good baseball team, rival for Ole Miss, coming in on Tuesday at 4 p.m. But so far, so good, man. And I know that if you want to feel encouraged after the last 2 years, it's hard to be less encouraged after those first 6 games. Yeah, the run rule game was ugly and whatever, non-competitive, but to see how they've responded, especially against number 15 Clemson, to see Hayden Federico stepping up, Owen Pano riding the roller coaster of a true freshman, but the talent is obvious. Campbell Smithwick has been better. He's making more consistent contact. He's been better behind the plate with his new setup, with one leg setup. There's just a lot to be encouraged about. So he's Mike Clement, Ole Miss baseball hitting coach, joining me here again on Talk of Champions, brought to you as always by Riverland Roofing. 662-644-4297. That's the number to call for all your roofing needs. It's Riverland Roofing, riverlandroofing.com. Clem, thank you again for doing this, man. We'll be doing it all throughout the year because there's no easier, better interview for me than, hey, Clem, I need you to jump on with me for 30 minutes this morning. You cool with that? So thank you, my friend.
Always happy to do it.
My man.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.